The word of God is the seed of creation. The word of God is life.
Pastor Femi Lazarus has been commissioned by God to go raise this end time armies.
Why do we have ministers who are misbehaving? Many have never been trained. They've read books about ministry, but you must understand that reading book is not the same thing as being held by the hand and told what to do. When you were young, you went everywhere you wanted to go. But the time is coming that you become old. Another will hold you by the hand and lead you to places you didn't want to go. That's training.
Get set for an awakening.
Get set for an awakening.
God doesn't use and dump. As you know, said to you the other time, that I have a spiritual father who, in the days that the grace of God upon my life does not look like it, the days I will need transport fare after attending church service, led me. It is not possible to also believe that in the days that things are changing, such a man does not have the spiritual capacity to continue the leadership. So for everything you want to do, you will ask yourself, is there an apostolic pattern for this in scripture? Did Timothy leave Paul, saying the season under Paul was over? Did Joshua leave Moses? You ask questions. So there are times that what you are doing may be inspired and it looks like the truth, but it's a pattern of error. I don't have the time to show you the implication of changing fathers like boxers. And you look at Pastor here, Adeboye, his spiritual father has been barking down on me. Even in death, he maintains that flow. We need to be very wise. God bless you.
Man, it's a very interesting, very, will I say, dynamic area, this fatherhood mentorship thing. And what will really help us in our generation, because we are the ones bastardizing it the most. A lot of light is needed on this area, and we trust that maybe time will come where we can really, you know, just trash out all the gray areas on people's hearts. As well. Amen. Because I know some people listening to me are sincerely having some trouble where they are. And it's almost like a death sentence. Imagine David under the leadership of Saul. And I just imagine the confusion he had. How do I submit to somebody who wants to kill me? How do I don't have that problem. There's no spiritual person that wants to kill me in my own situation. But how would I have survived if my spiritual covering wanted to kill me? Not I saw it in the dream. Or the pastorate know that this person wants to kill me. Not in the spirit realm. The person wants to physically end me.
I want to share a story. At some point, a man was to be transferred to the church where I was serving. And God spoke to me. And he said, I want you to find a father in him. So I was the one who was pastoring the place before he came. The pastor was there before I left. So I was the one in charge. So I took him. Write all the inventories of the church, what we have, show him the bank account details, how money is spent, the number of chairs, number of instruments. So I was taking him around that this is what we have, this is the generator house, this is the instrumentalist house, this is this. So I made a mistake. Our church then was just like this. There was no special seat demarcated for ministers. But that was his first time. So I said, this is where ministers used to sit down. And I didn't know I've missed the mark from that point. That ought to be the normal thing. So he told people and he said, you won't believe that boy will show me where I'll be sitting down. And from that day, he was on my matter. A young guy was messing up with a girl in church. Sleeping, what? Not really, he was touching the girl. So the girl went to report when she couldn't do it anymore. They called for a meeting, called all the pastors. And they also called me in the meeting and called a sister in church that was close to me. And they said, we call you here so we can know if he has been doing the same thing with you. And I said, my God, how do we get to the point where if sisters greet you after service? Now it means, and I saw that the man was bent on the fact that I should not rise. And I went back to God. I have not found a father in this one. There is no father in this man. And he said many things, tried to destroy my image. And many things. Many times I tried to leave that church. I wrote letters. I wanted to go and submit at the province. I cannot be under this man again. We'll go for other meetings. I see other pastors ministering. I love them. But this man was hell. I was sharing a story the other time of a pastor that raised prayer that somebody's light should be off. That was the man. When our ministry started, he told them to go and tell me that the ministry will not survive 6 months. I said, God, this is not my father. And when it was time to leave, but one thing I always do anywhere I find myself is that I will always leave honorably. There is no door that must be shut in a way that cannot be opened again. So I left when it was time to leave. But I tell you, all the time spent under that man was hell. So let me say this, that he that must father somebody must be fatherly. Is that okay now? You can't stay under all men. You can't put a living egg under a dead chicken. It will not become. So you have to understand, it is not slavery. It is not, what did I say? It is not slavery. So it is, in fact, I prefer that you take longer time to find a man who should be your father than to do it early and then you have to be cutting from several people. Not everybody should be a father in the body of Christ. Thank you.
Thank you. Somebody wants to know, how do you structure a young ministry in anticipation for expansion?
So when it comes to ministry structure, it's a very, very practical subject of discussion. So one of the things I'm going to do in answer to this question, which I believe will help, is that I'm going to tell our media team to send exclusive teachings for our International School of Ministry about how to build a ministry structure. So we're going to send all the parts. No, I'm going to send it to him. Then, as God leads to be communicated. But listen, no ministry starts with perfect structure. Problems reveal structures, and structures prevent problems. Is that okay now? It doesn't matter how structural you are. There are things that will happen in future that will show you the need to upgrade. So sometimes the attempt to overstructure a ministry will also kill the ministry, because the ministry is not ready for such level of structure. So allow it start. Then let it be an organism, not just an organization, an organism capable of growth and changing structures as you emerge. So don't bother yourself. As you go year by year, year after year, things will happen. The Holy Ghost will begin to call your attention to things. So the best thing you can do is to keep it flexible. I think I should say this. For instance, since our ministry started, our ministry has only ordained pastors once. We have never done beyond once. So we have ministers, but we keep them in training for years. And as that happens, we see those who should not be part of the team. So it is not shameful excusing them. Over time, we know those that should be here, and then we lay hands on them. We just keep it flexible like that. So it can be easy for it to change. So advise flexibility. God bless you.
Okay. What was it like shifting from relating to your wife as a mentee to a wife?
Who asked this question? This person seems to know something I don't know.
Who's the person, please? Who asked?
Okay.
Who asked the question?
All right. Okay.
I was actually curious. That's why. Because there are some intentional questions. Yeah.
I mean, from the day I knew she was going to be my wife, the mentorship thing died in my heart. It has to die. You can't put new wine in old wine skin. I cannot be hearing yes, up and down. I say I love. No. It has to die. In fact, the entry point was the mentorship because I had to tell her to go. I knew the season had come. You had given up on me that this guy, there's no hope for you anymore.
No, I was praying for you. Nah, I forgot to.
You said you were tired of praying. So my condition was very serious. It was that got into the point of hopelessness. When she came to church to attend one of our services and God said she's the one that night. So the only entry point was mentorship. So I chatted her up.
Kai.
That was the entry point. Because that was the relationship on ground. So I chatted her up and I said, go and write out your vision for the next 3 years. Mm. She wrote the vision, I didn't see marriage. So what is this? So I said, write your vision for the next 1 year. I knew the season had come for me to marry. I knew whoever is coming must be ready for marriage. I knew the season had come. So I said, for the next 1 year, she wrote it out, there was no marriage. I said, don't you plan to get married? She said, well, I plan to get married. And I feel the time has come and I'm just waiting for God to bring the person. I said, okay, good. All right. So we just started talking. And listen to me. Many of you are fantastic pastors, but you are unskillful lovers. Yes. You need to hear this. Many Christian brothers asking a lady how look like bad news already. You look like the kind of future she should not desire, and I need to talk to you. So the conversation has to go beyond chatting to calls on WhatsApp to very friendly conversations, to building friendship intentionally, to video calls. And I tell you, when you can get to the point of video call, you are likely going to win. And we began to talk. I see some brothers hugging each other at the back. I don't know if that's the congratulations for... So, are you following what I'm saying here? And the truth is that God gave us speed. Because I'm a very protocoled man and very principled. And I knew if that continued, she was, no, it shouldn't continue. God gave us speed. I had to drop all the defenses, drop all the guards, drop everything. That we married actually in that short while as best of friends. We're talking for hours. And wherever there is attention, there will be affection. So, we had to take it on that journey. And we are still on that journey. God bless you so much.
Beautiful. Any advice for young ministers relating with fathers and seniors? And any mistakes we shouldn't make?
Okay. So I'm just going to speak the things I've learned from him because he has several relationships with fathers. Treat fathers as fathers. All right? And the advice is when you get to a river, you don't give water, you take water. When you are before a father, they are not interested in what you know. You should subdue what you know to hear from their wisdom. Is that okay now? And never make a father a friend. They may be friendly, but they are not your friends. Alright? So, but I believe that, I mean, it should not be a relationship of fear, of panic, and of all those things, but it should be a relationship of caution. You know, and so basically as the Lord will lead you. And yes, I think I found this out and it's very serious. Fathers pay attention to words and promises. The extent you don't want them to go in your life, don't call them so. Don't call them to your meeting and say you are my spiritual father. They pay attention to that word and they expect you to behave as a spiritual son from that moment. So define it as what it is and understand their purpose in your life. And keep the purpose in view while you are relating with them. God bless you.
I'm tempted to talk, but I don't want us to push this. But that was great. I hope you're being blessed. Let me talk small. Just 2-3 minutes. Because the person that was guilty of this, I had to share with him. A great worshiper. It happened in Abuja. I went to see somebody, a very known minister of the gospel in the nation. And we got there. That's why I don't like online something, because I'm now being cautious. But anyway, summary is, at the end of the whole experience, the father was being so jovial that he was whining me, saying, first said to my wife, he said, anytime you want me to come, I'm just a call away. Anytime you want me to fly down to the house, just send me a text. I want you to come now. So we're just laughing. He was just cracking jokes, we're laughing. So then I said, can I have the privilege of snapping with you both? So everything they are doing, you are behaving yourself wisely. Because you know, he's joking, but you can't reciprocate the joke. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So we snapped the picture. They're usually very, very, because they've spent so many years with all manner of human beings. They're usually very observant. My God. Everything counts. The response to their calls, the response to messages, the use of words, the speed of response, your behavior, your mannerism in their presence, everything, and they will not show it. They will not tell you this is not how to. They are just watching, because they need you to be as free as possible so you can make all your mistakes and they can truly know what is going on. They can know you at depths you never imagined. Some have shocked me, and it was not prophetic. They told me this will happen, and they're not speaking by, they're speaking by depth of wisdom and experience. A lot of, have you experienced this? I said, no, sir. He said, watch out for it. It should happen anytime from now. And it happened to me. The next time I saw him, I was telling him what happened to me, how the whole year has gone and everything. And he said, ah, no, more is still coming. Negative stuff. He said, more is still coming. It has not finished. More will still happen. Very soon, more will say, and it happened. I didn't know whether to avoid it. They can discern the heart. So all the drama that you are dramatizing. So in the midst of all that picture thing, the person who was taking the picture was the one who took me to the place. A minister of the gospel as well. Like a colleague. So he said, sir, can I have the privilege, sir? So he's a pastor of one of the largest churches in this nation. Can I snap with you? He didn't ask you to take picture. Because you saw him in his element, you wanted to jump in to ride on the atmosphere to quickly have the privilege of having proof that you snap with the person. So his response was, no, not now. Stylishly dismissed that. So I had to tell him in the car. I said, I had been with him for 1 hour. I didn't request for a picture. You saw that he's the one who said he wants to snap. I can meet him 1 billion times and never say, sir, I would like to take a picture. I'm telling you how I am. You don't know him. He does not know you. Leave every matter. Is that how you snap picture with people? Whether your father or son or grandson, is that how you snap pictures with everybody? So that thing could have made a statement to that man. The next time he sees him in future, he could have marked his face. So funny childish things we do that just mark us, they just take note. this person is in a hurry. Meanwhile, your heart was sincere, but an act of foolishness has just this, you know. Are you getting what I'm saying? You sincerely might not be trying to shine or trying to blow or trying, you didn't have any ulterior motive. You're just excited about somebody you honor, but because you didn't have wisdom, you behaved yourself unwisely. Bible says David behaved himself what? Wisely around King Saul. You behaved yourself unwisely, and then, you know, probably shut down an opportunity that could have led to something great in future. Are we together? Imagine a son, quote unquote, like David under Saul. He has issues of insecurity, right? Saul had insecurity issues, right? Some obvious, really obvious issues. So the Bible says he was behaving himself wisely. It means he won't be forward with his strengths. Just like he was saying now. You are obviously able to do some things. There are pastor's children, father's children that God has used me for by the grace of God. And I know because I hear some of their children tell me that I was telling my dad how da 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 da. When they are talking and they are making it look like I'm anointed. I say, Oga, be calming down. Because I know where we are coming from. And I know what this person represents. Some of all these graces that you think are not wild, their wells are so deep. They can power all the... Are you getting what I'm saying? So by mercy, sometimes God will grant you grace to solve, like David, solve problems that they can't solve. Maybe in their church, in their ministry. They ask you to come and address their youths. I'm speaking prophetically to some of you. It will happen. They are the ones in charge of the youths. The youths are not listening to them, but the youths are listening to you. And they will hear the news and you will shut up like you didn't come and just go. One happened recently. I told them, don't make it a large meeting. In the first place, I'm not open for movements right now. Don't make it a large meeting. Don't put any fly. Not nothing. No need to even announce in church. Maybe if you talk to your youth, they will gather. And that's all. Send the WhatsApp message to them. Let them gather. And then we bless them. They didn't take anything. Nothing. I just blessed them. They were littered all over the place. Tears, hunger for God. People that they had given up on. They were already tired and stressing the church. I know I have this thing by the mercy of God. Youths listen. Young people listen. So I said, allow me to bless these guys. I told you I don't lobby for ministrations, right? But this guy is a friend, literally like a brother, who is a son of this great man. And so I said, bro, let me talk to your guys. They will be fine. And so we finished with them. They were all gingered, ready to pray and all that. I knew the news would get to the papa. The papa's heart, whatever is going on in his heart, I have not had any conversation with him on the matter. But I know the news will get to him. That this guy came, was a blessing to us. They might give him details. I didn't even take anything, no. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm not still trying to... Are you getting what I'm saying? God will be giving you the wisdom, Sha. But just make sure that the flesh is not driving you. Make sure that you are sincere throughout the whole process. And God will give to you some heavy weights you will not be able to understand. People you will call and they will pick. If there's any issue, they will stand up for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Maybe if there's time, we'll talk a lot about the wisdoms around, but that's a very good question. Thank you for asking. Thank you so much for the answer, sir. The third or fourth question. Where's the... Okay. Being under a ministry where you were made to handle some sensitive parts in the ministry, and suddenly you were renounced with the accusation that you want to start another ministry under the ministry, but was not aware until you got to know by some of the executives after the years passed. still committed now, but the ministry still sees you and accuses you of what you never planned to do. What should I stay or leave?
What's the accusation?
That you want to start your own ministry.
I learned something from Bishop Dagwood Mills. He said, don't joke with accusations. Whatever it is you are accused of, don't let it get into your soul. But at the same time, check inward to see if there's a trace of it. Because there's no smoke without fire. So the things you have to check are, what are the actions I'm doing, I'm giving to, that can be misunderstood? And I'm saying this practically, that so you can know. And the practical here is that sometimes when ambition starts, the one who is ambitious does not even know. It is just about Lot having his own lot. You get what I'm saying? Lot follow Abraham and having his own. He can't tell the reason why. This fellow is teaching now, and is teaching against things that are, somebody comes to the house. These are the things the house stands for. He's now teaching against the spirit of the house. That looks like ambition. I remember our ministry, basically we focus heavily on discipleship. I told one of my boys to preach. He said, who discipled Jesus? Who discipled this? Who discipled? Now, I was not in service that day, but one thing I do is that I just tell somebody I know that right well, that, oh, I'm not going to be in church. Then we're not online. That please, the things pastor is, can you be helping me jot so I can be blessed too? So the person was just jotting down innocently, and I was reading who discipled Jesus, it was mentioning people and saying that it's not by discipleship when you have an encounter. So when he said that, I knew who he was listening to. So I called him to come and see me in the house. The same message he had come to re-preach, I was playing the message on my laptop. So he came to my house, and I didn't say what, sit down. And I was just in message, by himself. He got up and started begging. And said, sir. By himself.
So he knew.
That was what he heard. I knew what he was listening to.
Who?
It, one of my boys. Is.
No, I mean, who was he listening to?
The minister, no, that's...
Is somebody...
Yes. So he kicked against the spirit of the house. So that kind of fellow, the heart is already contaminated and is not aware. So what that thing will call the person's attention to is to focus something is wrong. But to the fellow who asks the question, there's a litmus test for people whose heart is wrong. And the last question has shown that something is wrong, whether to leave or not. On the strength of that shows that there is already a case of lot on ground. If God has called you to be in a place, you don't leave until he asks you to. You don't leave by saying, because the question whether I should leave or not, you will soon get an answer that will look like it's God speaking.
Yes.
And you will leave. Yes. And that's a sign that the heart is wrong. God bless you.
Let me just add that everybody who is offended will feel like leaving. I think it's a common stuff. You just start feeling led. So please, just be sincere with yourself. Everybody feels, I felt like that too. Not even this church. The time I had discipleship abroad, I felt like leaving. They were accusing me of being a new age. They were accusing me of being different things. I was crying, telling my mom that I am done. I want to leave. I think my process is done here. And my mom kept reminding me, said, look at all God has done in your life. You want Satan to destroy everything now. I was still angry. I said, we finish it in Nigeria. Jesus will complete, because I was carrying her along with all the things God was doing in my heart. She said, are you not happy with what God has done? Don't let Satan destroy it. You won't believe that by showing those same people love. Let me show you how sad it was, how pride instigating it was. I will sit down and they will carry their food, stand up and go to another table. I will carry food and sit down on the table. They will carry their food, sit on that table. Amy. I will look at these people. Me. You are avoiding me. You want it to be obvious that I am a devil. And the lecturer was the one saying this. I still pray for her because I don't know if what she's going through is because of that thing she did. But we're in talking terms, we talk, but she's still going through something that she really needs help from. She said, Lawrence, can you please pray for me? I say, oh, my man, I hope it's not because of that thing she did that she's still in waiting for a manifestation of God in her life, an area of her life. She discussed me with a student and they started seeing me as new age. So I felt the same kind of, but that desire to leave ministry is happening to many people. And it shows that we are not stable in our generation. Small offense, we get angry, we want to get out. I know that. Anyway, we'll have time to talk more on all these things. I have a question, personal now. So dealing with people, because God is now saying that I should pastor. And then you are my mentor. We have one father, we have many instructors. One of my instructors, sir. So I want to ask, how have you managed, like that person now, for example, who is showing ambition? It can be a very difficult seed to deal with. It's a seed that can hide and act like it's gone because of the leader. That person, for example, you wouldn't have known the person did not stand on the pulpit. You get what I'm saying? If you didn't give opportunity, you won't even know. The person knows your stand, but he's shutting something down so that he can survive. So when you notice that kind of thing, you know how stubborn these things can be. What are the practical ways to you have dealt with, or do you just?
So, I warn my people, and I want to say this so you can hear. It is good that a leader's heart is large, but the largeness of heart of your leader is not to your advantage always. A land can be so large. There are burial grounds there. There are hospitals there. And all those things. So what I do is I deal with men based on my own consecration. And I tell them and I warn them. I will put my eternity above anybody's making. My eternity comes first. So when I see that somebody is misbehaving and showing this, I will painfully do what I should do. It's painful. That's why I have to be practical. And I will let you know. For instance, I have a very strong template. There's nobody who comes to me and say, God asked me to leave that I will not release. Mm-hmm. And it can be very painful. Mm-hmm. One of the painful things in ministry is letting go. You might look at it and say, I want to leave, they're not allowing me, until you become a father also. However, you guys should know that if it is not God calling you and you say it is God, it is your own cup of tea to deal with. But that I will come and I say, no, you are not going to go. I won't do that. So you should understand that me releasing you is not a function of whether I agree or not. It is a function of my own consecration and a covenant I have with God. I will not tie anybody down longer than they want to go. So it's a very, very serious stuff. So when people are showing dysfunctional, now I'm speaking personally now, I choose to put the perspective of my eternity first. But when I work with people, I have seasons. There are seasons with people that I ignore things a lot, that the Holy Ghost say, focus on this fellow. And I do it microscopically. I will focus on the most tiny things. And that's the season where the person's heart is tested. And when the Holy Spirit says, lift it up, like a joke, the fellow just surprised, this same person who sees everything is now allowing me, laughing back and all, like a joke, you are back. Everything I do is because God instructs. So it is now left for people to take advantage of such a heart and they destroy themselves. Or to understand that because this and these conditions are on ground, I have to be sincere and be sure that it is God leading me. Now let me wrap up with this. When I knew our ministry was going to another phase, God gave me three instructions. I think I shared with you. The first instruction, don't leave with even the smallest screwdriver here. Everything you have shared. When God told me that, it was easy to do. He's giving. We'll trust you for another one. Second instruction, so-so and so-and-so. Give me so-so and so-hours of praise. Yes. Third instruction. All who have rebelled against you at some point, call them and beg them. I said, God, what? I said, call them and beg them. I mean, and I'm speaking here because I've done them. And when I did, most of them came and knelt down and begged also. So, you follow God. Thank you.
Wow. Wow, I keep seeing the template of God ensuring that He is emphasizing brokenness in your pathway. And I'm seeing that might be one of the shortcuts to wait, where people want to route it through fasting and prayer. Some of these simple obediences will cut years short. You didn't hear what I just said? Okay. Wow. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. If I didn't read your question, it's because, number one, I didn't understand it. Number two, I didn't expect it. Praise God. I don't want to read them so that people don't laugh and then you now feel as if, is there something wrong with me? Nothing is wrong. Could also mean that it might distract us from some of the areas that we are trying to focus on. What are the wisdoms that you would advise mentees to pay attention to in dealing with their mentors? You can list as many as your heart calls to mind.
Well, first and foremost, it's a relationship. And it's a relationship with a purpose. And the purpose must be in view always. A mentor is not a sponsor. A mentor is a mentor. A mentor is maybe friendly, is not a friend. A mentor is a mentor. Then, I think one common mistake people make, particularly those who are introverted, is that, in fact, they stand the chance of being the most sacrificial people, and the person does not even know that they are doing to that extent. I'm not saying you should start doing eye service, but learn to communicate your commitment, your devotion, and your love. Mm. Because if there's anything about leadership, leaders conclude. I mean, you have just 24 hours.
Yes.
You have survival to deal with. You want to be sure that if I'm giving this person my time, he's not somebody who sees me as just one of the options. So you should communicate the importance of the person in your life by paying attention to the instructions and all those things. But just follow in a way that it will be clear you are following. Then follow God in men. Pray for the men you are following. Don't be a man user. Don't be man user. Pray for the people you are following. Be a blessing to them. For instance, it will be, and I'm saying this, of course, you know his heart, so it will be very ridiculous that somebody will come for battle like seven years out and you have never at some point say, let me even be a blessing to the man that God is using to cause us this shift. Like, lastly, I'm going to share you a story. I'm going to mention the name of the senior pastor in, okay, I won't mention the name. Some young pastors who were following a senior pastor in Lagos went to see him in a mentorship session where he was to discuss some things with them and teach them some things about ministry. After seeing him, he prayed for all of them and blessed them and released them. Then one of them stayed back and said, sir, just a private question. So he gave the man the audience and he brought out an envelope and he said, sir, I brought this seed. Thank you for. Out of all of them that showed up that day, was the only one who brought the seed. And the man of God said, of all the people that came here, you are the wisest. And he opened his drawer and brought out a key. And it says, pass this door. When you get to the garage at the back, you will see a car. It belongs to you. So the guy went there, and when he got to the back, he was pressing the key, and the car that was blinking was covered. See, this is a true life story. The people involved are known people by everybody. And when he opened the car, it was a Rolls Royce. And then he said, that is my gift to you for having sense. So, he doesn't need the money. Most of the people you give money, listen, you don't give money to leaders because they need. It is in that you are blessed. You need something, God say you, for you to see this thing, the person doesn't need it. Go and bless this person, and in doing that, I've opened the door for you. I mean, God has given instruction to go and empty accounts several times, do this, dangerous things that the people, okay, because this is public, I will say it publicly. Daddy Mike was, he said a story when he came. About the time somebody gave them a car, fantastic car, one of the best in town, only the governor was using the car.
Yes, yes.
And they said, go and give it to a man of God. After God said, go and give it to a man. And when they took it there, the man of God, he met the wife, and the woman just said a word, your season is blessed, the key, thank you. I know pastors who are offended because they sow seed to a senior pastor, and now it is the son of the senior pastor that is there. You are not giving it to meet a need. If there's any need to be met, it's yours. What they do with it is not your business. That's the wisdom people need to have. So, follow diligently, and then let me round up like Kenneth Hagin said, follow like a wise sheep. Eat the haze and separate the sticks. The things that are revelation, take them. The things that are refuse, discern them and avoid the avoidable. I mean, I've seen a session by somebody, a mentor of mine, called me and shared some principles with me that are working in his ministry. But based on the instruction of God for the assignment he has given to me, if I do that principle, the ministry will die in less than a year. I accepted it. I thanked him. I jotted it. And the place where I jotted it, I just cut it out. This man loves me, but I can't do what he has said. Because the instruction of God for me is different. So be discerning. God bless you.
You note that I listened. I thanked him for it. So he left with honor, even though he didn't have to follow what was said. So you see wisdom in all the, you know, conversations we are having with people who have gone ahead of us. Many times they might misunderstand you. Walk wisely. Sometimes they might clearly be in error. Still walk wisely. He said something sad that called back some sad memory, because my dad is gone now and I can't do some of the things that I know better to do now. But one of it was, because I'm not a showy kind of person, he appreciated showy kind of people. God sees his heart. My greatest desire was to stand with him from pulpit to pulpit. It was probably one of my fewest weaknesses. I didn't mind abandoning all this hunger, fire, passion to just stand with my father from place to place, making him proud. My dad didn't know that was my desire. I don't ask for opportunity to minister. He would think I am very busy and don't have time to minister. Meanwhile, my joy is to stand and hear him say, do you want to minister? You know, I want you to minister. That was my joy. I was desiring it. He didn't know. And there were people around who were doing what he liked. And he didn't know that many of them were not even sincere. Very interesting. So that's the wisdom that I wish I had maybe 5 years ago. Because there are many things that these great men will pass to you when their emotions are well touched. Did you get what I just said? When they are what? What part of them? What part of them? Their emotions. Because I'm not very mushy, I didn't service some things I should have serviced the way I should have. So learn, please, and don't repeat our mistakes. And that's why I made some vows with the one that is around with us. We'll make it count. So if your parents are still around, if your mentor or father or whoever is still alive, please honor them as much as you can. Do your best, whether they are the popular mentors or not, whether they are the known and pronounced people or not, whether they are obviously mightily graced or not. Honor your father and your mother. Let them think of you all the time and just be happy because of how consistent you are in doing them good. I'll ask two last questions and then we'll be done. Somebody wants to know, in relationship with, how do you manage a parental guardian relationship? In a situation where God told you to leave their environment and praise God. These questions have been answered. Alright, please. God is not an author of confusion. Praise God. Pray. Would you imagine that my wife was leaving her acceptance to confirmation of parents as well, even though God has told her? That stood out to me as proof that this is my wife, that she's a person under authority. Are you getting what I'm saying? Many of the questions are laced with disobedience, rebellion, and you are not seeing it. I'm telling you, laced with desire to pamper, and you are thinking spirit. Some of you, that's your wilderness. Let it break you, let it finish you until you don't want anything again. Are you getting what I'm saying? Everybody wants to leave, everybody wants to go away where they can grow. Many people want to travel to some territory so they can be under some men of God. The ministry you were born in, you will not serve and help, or you want to go and serve another one that did not grow you, did not have anything to do with your life. You just listened to the message yesterday. You pack your load, leave the person who washed your bum bum, sent you to school, spent money, prayed for you, invested their life on you. And God didn't say go. The grace was just catchy, and then you carry your load and start moving. Please, oh, many bishops, great fathers, have tried to grab us once they saw grace. I came back to my roots. I came back to my roots. Praise God. Somebody asked a question about children ministry. I'm trying to. Okay. Aside extended fasting and prayer, what other price do we pay for an impactful ministry?
You know, I get quite scared of using the word price, because there's no greater price that is greater than the price that Jesus already paid on the cross. Are you following what I'm saying? So one of my, and I'm going to say this because of the kind, and please look up. I want us to be discerning of what this meeting means to the body of Christ. Look at this meeting beyond what you are seeing now. And that's why I'm going to say this. One of my fears for prayer movement and a lot of fasting, as emphasis, as powerful as it is that if care is not taken, it also has the capacity of producing some of the most arrogant believers who believe that you can bribe your way out. Listen to me, Muslims fast. Those who are worshipping Satan fast to see him. If the fasting does not make you more broken, does not kill the flesh, does not annihilate the works of the devil. You can see Isaiah chapter number 58. God was speaking. He said, is this the kind of fast I have called? It's not fasting for a day for a man to afflict his soul. He was beginning to list out, to break the works of darkness. So, I believe in prayers. Lengthy one at that. But if you listen to what I'm teaching, you may not even find it as my emphasis. You may not find many of the things that are my practices as my emphasis. Because I have seen that most times if we emphasize on this, if care is not taken, those same set of people can be the people that the devil is using. Let me give this illustration. I went to minister somewhere and one of the very prayerful girls in the meeting was coming to see me the moment I stepped out. And you see Christians do this many times. And I don't even think it's a sign of honor or training to be under a ministry and you go to see a guest minister without the permission of your lead pastor. Sometimes you go to some places, you see associate pastors, assistant pastors, workers. They are the ones coming to see you. Meanwhile, you have a father in the house. Our generation must emphasize on training, not just fasting. Because we can have rebels who are fasting and praying. And the man of God came out. And he said, you, get out of there. I personally may not like that, but he has said, get out. Do you know the girl still stood? He said, I want to see him now. He said, I think he was doing that because he knew the kind of girl she was.
Yes.
He said, get out of there now. The girl still stood. I go to the hotel room. I didn't know how the girl had gone to get my contact. As she messaged me on WhatsApp, I just click block. Facebook, search for her name, block. Everywhere you can see me, block. Because listen, men of God don't have problems with each other. It takes untrained people like this to come between people and cause division. Yes. Generational graces that should function together and bless more lives will now go separate ways. Because somebody, look at how the Bible described babes in Ephesians 4. It said in Message translation, I think, please check. He said, we no longer tolerate babes amongst us. Easy children, small children who are easy mark for impostors. Meaning that the people refuse to grow up. If the devil wants to destroy an assembly, look for those who are babes. Is that okay now? What I'm saying is that fasting is good. Prayer is good. But when it becomes what you are boasting of as a criteria for your stature, then you don't know what Christ has done on the cross. Is that very clear now? Anything, if it does not break down your flesh and destroy ego, is not a price.
Yes.
God bless you.
Yes. Celebrate Jesus for that. You can do better. Clap, 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 clap. It's because you don't know the value of answers to simple, simple questions like this. It can save you a decade.
Yes.
Just that sentence. The question has problem. Just listen to it and it has problem. It's already showing that the person does not understand. That's what I'm trying to say. If I read, you'll see why I'm weak. Because it means many things. Hallelujah to Jesus. These were not questions the apostle asked. Can you seek Jesus? Can you love Jesus? Instead of looking for five. Once I take this and take this and take this and take this, you're about to become a dangerous person to the body of Christ. Alright? And I know our messages have tendencies to push people to want to tick and tick and tick. So this person has done this, so I need to do this now. Because that's how I was being stirred too. This year, I will fast and pray. Yes. But because a foundation has been laid, how I will know I've made progress in the fasting and prayer is that I will be more like Jesus. That I will love Jesus more. I will love the body more. Or else we'll raise mighty people who hate each other. It's happening now before our very eyes. I told you, right? I told you yesterday, great apostles that can't see eye to eye. That can't stay in a meeting and sit down like this on chair. And they're the ones mentoring us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They can't sit down like this. And you're putting your head for them to put their hand on you too. And receive a partition and fall down and scream and shout. The heart has grown so cold. They can look at the face. Well done, well done, well done. They've mastered strife. It is well. Let's celebrate God. There's a question I wanted to read, but I don't seem to be finding it right now. The online question. Did you read it before you brought it? If the person can quickly ask online, I don't know. If I also didn't read your question, it means that sometimes you don't know where, how long. The question will take a long time to. Do you get what I'm saying? There are some really good questions like, how do I start a ministry? Where do we start from? It's a long, it's too, you get what I'm saying? It's like saying, how do I, it's a long question. It's not a, we don't have time. Alright, so maybe in the course of the meeting we'll address. Okay, this one is a practical one. When in a church where they don't believe or exercise much of Holy Spirit and they do things like voting to pick leaders, how does one introduce Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, politely and acceptably? Because they slowly try to withdraw me from the children ministry. So, some of us think, you can copy and paste, many of us are in this kind of situation, right? You want to introduce light to your church. Do you want to answer, sir? Any of you who want to answer? I will give my own practical one too.
The thing is, some structures are older than you.
Stronger. Mightier.
And they are powered with fastings you have never fasted. So, you have to be careful of it. What, I think one of the most difficult things to help a ministry on is something that once brought success. Something yeah. that once brought success. I went to minister in a meeting and I knew that the ministry was going to die. And I knew that if the ministry will survive the next generation, there are two people there that represent, they need to pay attention to that generation. So sometimes, I love the way Dr. Willie describes it. The move of God is like a wave. When it rises and it wants to rise again, it will drop all it knows, pick something new. Alright? It is not in your power and jurisdiction to power a ministry to that extent. You can be a secret intercessor provided you have discerned the reason why God has placed you there. And you are not also losing grip of your own light. But to think you want to, you will lose yourself in the process. They will fight you, you will forget God called you. So be careful. Pray, but let it be. The change in the ministry is the exclusive reserve of the Holy Ghost. It's the one that will bring them into the consciousness of the season. I don't want to give an example. I'm just going to say it vaguely I think I saw people sharing a poster recently and all that a minister was doing something. I knew the reason why they were excited, probably because they've not been open to that. But nobody went to engineer them.
Yes.
God did. And whether you believe it or not, the law itself is holy.
Yes.
Whatever it was you think needs to be changed had achieved something. And so when God is bringing correction to a ministry, He's not correcting them as vagabonds. Even in the midst of what you may call what is no longer relevant now, in that they are still more powerful and more relevant for the move of God than those who are in quotes in the new. You can't change a system you don't honor. When you look at it to the point where you begin to be humbled by what the system has achieved, until you get there, you can never be the man for the change. God bless you.
You want to say something, sir? This one is tempting me to talk. This particular matter. I've learned to praise God. Praise God. It's okay to sit under somebody that does not seem to have as much light as you expect. It's okay. Maybe you have laptop, you have phone, you have data. Continue growing in as many quarters as you need to grow, as God will lead you, of course. Or many of you will influence those systems if you can just wait. Patiently, God will give you opportunity. And when the opportunity comes, don't think you can do it in 30 minutes. With honor, sow the seeds. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's also a broad answer. Let me say this one. Will you believe if I told you that in my local church, as of 2013, Holy Spirit, apart from my father and my mother, nobody could pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 hour straight. You know I don't exaggerate, Abby. If I say 1 hour, it means 30 minutes. I'm not exaggerating. Imagine me who got introduced to 12 hours 2011 December, and I have been doing 12 hours every month. Are you seeing what I'm saying? I will sit down upstairs and be crying. Because my heart had been exposed to something. You know that feeling. And your heart is panting. This was my fresh, what they call first love. Fresh, dog tasting blood. My initial point. Do you know how it feels? Somebody is speaking and it's like you are dying with every word. I remember sitting with my dad and I burst into tears. I just burst into tears. I said, "Daddy, we don't speak in tongues in church. We don't." Remember, I was just pouring my heart. I celebrating. A very humble man. I don't know many humble people. I don't know. He said, "What if I tell you to preach tomorrow? Can you preach this?" I was not expecting that feedback at all. Ah! Tomorrow morning, Sunday service. I was not a pastor then. How? From where to where? Almost 7 hours. After all the crying, I've been crying. That we should pray. Prayer power. Now, he said, oh yeah, say it. I prepared 7 hours. Praying in the spirit. They gave me mic. I poured my heart on prayer power. The whole place exploded. People were praying the Holy Ghost. Fire of God fell everywhere. And daddy came up and said, how many of you were blessed? I said, we're blessed. Notice everything was done with honor. I didn't say it like I have ascended to a realm. Are you getting what I'm saying? And when you see me teach, I'm always showing that I started from where the person listening to me is. Are you getting what I'm saying? So I show that I am strong where we all are. I enjoy leading prayer like this. Until I met some people. And so I start from where we all are. And then I tell you what led to what I'm saying now. And daddy said, can we all pray in the Holy Ghost 4 hours every day this week? We'll gather in church. We'll pray. How many of us want to continue? Yes. That's how I started. January the next year. This was December. January the next year. Said that is for our 7 days fasting and prayer that we host every that we just finished. I said, let's do 3 days marathon, and we'll be praying 13 and a half hours every day. I am telling you, we gathered in the seminar room. Elderly people as old as 70 years old were in that meeting, and we're praying the Holy Ghost every day. That's how it started, though. Now we're speaking in tongues, it's normal now. But I didn't have to leave the church. The church did not have to leave me. None of us had to leave each other. Now, I know by the mercy of God, maybe because I'm Gio's son, it might have been easier. I'm not underestimating how much stress some of us have gone through. I'm just saying that with wisdom, many things are possible. Alright? I'm just reminded by the Holy Ghost now that it was that same ministry that we prayed for 2016 that Jesus appeared to the Jew. That's where he too is coming from. So God is faithful. He loves his body. So treat the bride very carefully. Praise God. Love her. Because that's Jesus. That's Jesus' wife. Let's rise up on our feet. Stretch out your hands towards God's servant. And I want you to pour out from your bowels intercession. Lift up your voice and pray in the spirit everywhere. Come on. I can't hear you. Lift up your voice. Pray in the spirit. Start to see as you pray. See him enter into the next phase of his call, of his life, of his ministry, of destiny. Generate life, power, energy. Generate life for new experiences in God. New experiences, new levels of favor with God and men. Manderende preventerate kore de shida. Pray as if this gift has blessed you. Imagine if it was more than this. Pray with that heart, Lord. The next time I hear from this grace, let him be stronger than ever. Come on. Rama bakata la barede fekete levedia fete kese fekete. Yende bede legendio rama bakoti braktos to jekete palastasia. Alenjila lamantia free factos tekete. 2 more minutes. Pray. Grace be multiplied. The church of God push you forward. The church of God advance the course.
right now, advance the course of your life in the name of Jesus. Stefania Tivan Refetek Stefetele Krise Dila Storanate. Enjan Dila Manaman Katasta Kola Praktos Tesetele Hadivel. Ele Pridizo Sele on Tela Ronde de Kesian Tekrepidina Hassan. Alia Tela Tilana. Oh my God. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh my God. Prante la bandira. Fasta no zinda takalia kure. E gino rependia crestetele crasso tapra hasazio franastara. Empivan sevilla fretila rede bocotia clasolia crete nae nendis. Ne bele bene crosetia shadala desdano rapacte pite fair. Wow. Pana vianzo, selemida cresto nigos talapantie, zido rengedino prente secte di braha shedala quasta tazi. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Wow, glory to Jesus. It's a great year. It's a great year.
The blessings in the word resides with one who is both a hearer and a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word.
For mentorship, leadership, and counseling, kindly reach us on this number, 090-30-959735.
This message was sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, FLAME.
To partner with FLAME, kindly make use of this account details, account number 221-500-5289. Femi Lazarus Ministries, UBA.